Byram up top for the one-timer. That one tips high off the bar. Scores! Peyton Krebs on the rebound. It's 1-0 Sabres.
One of the moments of the game for the moments in your life. Go forth to Firth. Moments of the game brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. Joe Marino, right now.
Tennessee.
DeAndre Hopkins and Will Levis had a hot minute last year. This year, not going as well, but he's on the move. DeAndre Hopkins is going to the Kansas City Chiefs. Joining us on the Western Hotline for a bit of instant reaction on this one, and of course, a breakdown of Bills and Titans and Bills Seahawks, is Joe Marino of the Locked On Bills podcast. Joe, what do you got? What do you think? Hopkins to the Chiefs. What do you make of it?
They had to do something. They're losing wide receivers left and right, and needed to make a move. And obviously, you know, one thing that happens in the NFL is that wide receivers get traded all the time. And so it was just a matter of who it was going to be. Was it Hopkins or Cooper Kupp or Deontay Johnson or Christian Kirk? Winds up being Hopkins, who I think gives them some of what they lost in Rashee Rice, is kind of a zone beater, be available on some of those shallow drags and just add that layer back to the offense for Patrick Mahomes. So needed move for Kansas City. And I think kind of the other side of it is kind of glad the Bills made the move when they did to get Amari Cooper, because you feel like that's for a third round pick compared to Hopkins at this point for a five that could be a four. I think you're glad that the Bills got in on that action when they did, so that this isn't the type of receiver that they were going to get instead of Cooper.
Yeah, you think Hopkins has less to offer than Cooper at this point?
Oh, yeah, there's no question about it. I mean, even he's kind of working through a little knee deal right now, Hopkins is. And, you know, he's got really good hands and body control, but I don't think he's nearly as dynamic as Cooper is in terms of some verticality to his game. And so, you know, I think they'll get what they need out of Hopkins, but I would much rather have Cooper.
Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast. On Cooper, I want to ask you this. Like, you know, yesterday we spent a lot of time talking about the Bills in respect to the AFC, and Baltimore looks dominant right now. They're really hitting on all cylinders, and they beat up the Bills pretty bad. The real question I want to ask, though, Joe, is how big a change do you think Cooper is to what the Bills do on offense and how teams can defend them, right? For a couple weeks, we're talking about how often the Bills were getting blitzed and Josh Allen's being left out to dry and their receivers are so lacking. Is it so different that we kind of should look at life as before Cooper and after Cooper? Like, a game against Baltimore would not go the same because of the way Baltimore would have to respect the new look Bills. Is it that drastic to you?
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, the Bills were severely beaten against Baltimore, and I think the issues on defense were pretty significant in addition to, you know, what the Bills were missing on offense. I think the game would probably be closer, and I always say that the missing ingredient in the Bills' loss to the Ravens and any time that they get gashed in the run game is that they just don't score enough points to kind of get the offense out of that rhythm, and I think the game script kind of took on a life of its own. So do I think the game would have been more competitive? Yes. Do I think the Bills were beating Baltimore? I don't think so. I feel like Baltimore had the right stuff that night. But I do think this changes the complexion of the Bills' offense, and I thought you saw pretty quickly how that could happen, even with Amari Cooper only having a couple of practices under his belt. And so I think that will continue to improve as the season moves along. But, I mean, you're talking about a pretty massive upgrade going from Mac Hollins in his role on the offense, who's a perfectly fine number four or number five receiver, but when he's like your top two, three guy for you, you know, I think you put in Amari Cooper, who's a well-established player in this league in terms of who he is. That just makes you so much better. And I thought you saw it come to life against Tennessee as that game moved along, and you start to think about this offense really kind of having a defined pecking order in terms of your top four being Shakir and Coleman and Cooper and Kincaid, and you start to feel like this is an entirely different feel to this passing game, and it really came to life there in that second half, and I think it's exciting to think about what it can be the rest of the way.
How about the potential of him and Coleman on the field at the same time, what they could do for each other? And knowing, I think I saw that Coleman, none of his targets or at least his catches, Cooper was even on the field for. But what about Joe, what Cooper could do for him, and then also Coleman's game in general? I mean, he puts up over 100 yards, and it felt like it was a breakout game for sure for Coleman.
Yeah, well, I mean, I graded Amari Cooper as a top 10 route runner in the NFL going into the season, actually number 7 in the league. And so with him being a route technician like he is, that's only going to benefit a guy like Keon Coleman, who I feel like that's probably the area of his game where it needs the most work. And so being around him on a daily basis, and it seems like Cooper has a lot of just a cerebral guy that's willing to help guys out, I think that'll be a major benefit. But also with them on the field at the same time, I think you have some guys that can present some physical mismatches to defenders. And, you know, I don't know that teams are going to have a ton of options that are going to be great matchup players for this top four that the Bills can now attack a defense with. And so I think it's a major benefit. I think, you know, you've seen defenses kind of key in on maybe a Dalton Kincaid at times for the Bills this year. And I think it just makes it a little bit more difficult to pick your poison, if you will, if you're a defense, because the Bills do have now suddenly a group of skill sets that blend well together that can really expose where you may not have the right matchup defensively. So I think the upgrade is very significant. It certainly benefits Keon Coleman and all the Bills receivers.
Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast, joining us to chat about the matchup against Tennessee and then moving ahead Seattle and on. Joe, defensively, a lot of the numbers on the Bills defense, they're kind of middle of the road, which for a Bills defense is actually a bit down from where they are in previous years. Are the fixes about getting healthy and eliminating chunk plays? Is it time on task, healthy, best players in? Or would you be pushing for Brandon Bean to maybe look to add something somewhere on this defense? You know, he hinted at the idea that they don't have to be done. They could make more moves. Do you feel like they have the horses in-house to get it done?
It's interesting. I think, yeah, maybe metrically there's some areas of the Bills defense that aren't as good, but one thing that is true is they are playing terrific ball in the second half of games, right? If you look at this season, they've given up 96 points in the first half. They've given up 33 total in the second half. Every opponent has been held to 7 or less except for Baltimore, who got 14. They've held 4 opponents to 3 or less in the second half. So they're figuring it out as games move along, and I think that's an encouraging sign. I think it's about how they're handling things earlier on in games, and I thought, you know, obviously getting out into a 10-0 deficit against Tennessee kind of exposed a talking point that I've had this season, and that the Bills are not doing well to defend short passing game, and teams are coming in and making it a space game and getting yards after catch, and the Bills wound up running a little bit more man coverage against Tennessee that kind of helped with that. So I think they're finding their way, and I think injuries certainly have been significant on that side of the ball, in addition to, you know, Von Miller being suspended for 4 games amid that. I mean, Bernard Johnson has missed time, Oliver's missed time. So they've certainly had their injuries on the defensive side of the ball. Do I think there's a room for them to get better? Yeah, I think 2 spots in particular. I think that their interior defensive line depth can be a little bit better. I think Dwayne Carter's been a fine player as a 3rd-round pick, but I don't think they've gotten what they want out of Austin Johnson. And so I think that would potentially be an area to upgrade. And then I think you do look at the safety position, particularly DeMar Hamlin. And I don't think DeMar Hamlin's as bad of a player as a lot of Bills fans make him out to be. I think he's, you know, a serviceable depth player. I don't think he's ideally a starter. And you feel like that can be upgraded. And you feel like the upgrade's right there in Mike Edwards, a player that I'm well familiar with from Kentucky to the Bucks to the Chiefs, really good player. Surprised that he hasn't been able to command a role, but Sean McDermott said repeatedly that he's missed time and getting settled into the defense, whether it was OTAs or camp, and for whatever reason they don't trust him. And so I kind of have some concerns that are they going to bring in an outside option that they're going to suddenly trust more than DeMar Hamlin, who's the most experienced safety on the team. So I don't know. That's where I get perked up when I think about, all right, Micah Hyde, you ready to go?
Yeah.
Because I feel like he can help there. So maybe that's kind of the move. So I wouldn't put it out, but I think interior defensive line and safety are the most obvious to me where the Bills could could find some upgrades.
This week, Seattle, and a team that has some explosive playmakers, DK Metcalf, to keep an eye on him. How do you like the matchup between the Bills and the Seahawks?
Yeah, Seattle's such a weird team. I feel like if you told me that the Seahawks beat any team in the NFL, I'd believe you. If you told me that they lost any team in the NFL, I believe you. And I think you kind of saw that. They smoked the Falcons last week in Atlanta with, you know, Falcons kind of having extra rest in that game. And then, you know, they lose at home to the Giants. Did the Giants even have neighbors for that game? I mean, it was just really kind of strange. And so Seattle's super talented. I mean, they have prototypes all over the field. I mean, really, really upper echelon talent. It's just a matter of how it comes together for them. They have a really young coaching staff, not just because Mike McDaniel's in his first season, but not a ton of experience in the NFL. And Ryan Grubb, the offensive coordinator, pretty much fresh out of college with basically no NFL experience. And so, you know, they have a lot of coming together, and I think that's what's leading to their wide range of results. But they're a talented group that's going to present a good challenge for the Bills. And certainly from a matchup perspective, I don't think you look at it and feel like, oh, yeah, this is a very obvious advantage that the Bills have over Seattle. It's going to come down to probably execution, coaching, and how the Bills can handle, you know, going to the Pacific Northwest and playing in a hostile environment.
Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast. All right, Joe, thanks for the time. We'll chat next week.
All right, guys, thank you.
You can find the Locked On Bills podcast anywhere you get your podcast. Subscribe to that, and also the Locked On NFL Scouting podcast to, you know, get Joe and Kyle Krabs their thoughts on the league. They do a great job with it, so subscribe to Locked On Bills. DeAndre Hopkins to the Chiefs. Still finalizing details from what I'm reading. One of the conditions might be if the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, it goes from a fifth to a fourth.
Mm-hmm.
It's the kind of condition you put in as the Chiefs, and the other team has to think like, well, that's very possible.
Yeah. And so the Chiefs think, well, what do we care if we do it again? Fifth to a fourth.
It is interesting how much they are going for, if I may use this phrase, immortality, three in a row.
Mm-hmm.
How much of a pull is there to gun for that third in a row? What would they give up to make sure they can get the job done? Like, would they trade a first and a second? Would they adopt the Rams mantra of, you know, bleep them picks? Because we're not going for one. We're going for a third. 803-0550. On Hopkins, on Bill Seahawks, on Sabre Stars, if you want that. 803-0550 on WGR.